Okay, so what we will start with, though, even though you kind of have that there in front of you, we will start to speak about misuse and abuse of spiritual authority. So you should have in front of you prayer regarding relationships with authority, rebellion, and abuse of authority. Is that what you have there? What you have is a prayer that we have here at the Catholic Renewal Center in a book that we call the Prayer Manual, the manuals that we have in all the different ministry rooms. And I just thought it was good for you to know, as you're out there in your Jonah teams and doing what you do, when you send someone to the Catholic Renewal Center, because your ears, you're in your holy listening that you do when you listen to people, when you send them to the Renewal Center, because there's a particular type of like abuse or trauma, for you to know a little bit, well, what do we do with those people when they come? Right? And so this is a prayer that we'll talk about a little bit. It may be a prayer that I might use if someone is in this situation. So, spiritual abuse or abuse of spiritual authority. It's important as we break this down and talk about it to really kind of understand our terms or what we're talking about. All authority in heaven and earth belongs to God, right? All authority belongs to God, the creator of heaven and earth. All authority is in him and from him, but he at times shares that, right? He shares that authority with those that he has appointed on the earth to represent him to others. So now there's all kinds of different breakdown of authority that we could talk about in the social sphere and in politics and all of that kind of thing. But for this discussion, we're really going to talk about those who have a spiritual authority over others. So who is this going to be?
Parents, guardians.
Okay. Parents have a natural spiritual authority over their children, even if they're adopted parents, guardians, sometimes the grandparents become the parents and become responsible. There's like a natural spiritual authority of parenthood, fatherhood, motherhood. And that's the Lord God the Father sharing that with us, trusting us to take that responsibility for those entrusted to us, right? But there are also other religious leaders, those who teach the faith, catechists, those who are ordained in a very special and specific way. Religious who represent the Lord, real specifically. Any who really serve the faithful and represent God to others. Okay, those are people generally that have some type of spiritual authority. So what do we mean about spiritual abuse? All types of abuse. Emotional abuse, verbal abuse, unfortunately, sexual abuse, these kinds of things. The thing about a spiritual abuse, it's like the leader, the spiritual leader, breaking the trust that others have in them. A misuse of authority sometimes may be unintended or even unconscious, but it would look like this. A misuse of proper authority would be like words spoken maybe by a parent that do not build up, and it even maybe can cause harm to a person, like to a child. That would be an unfortunate misuse of that person's authority. They might not even really be aware the harm that they're doing, like they maybe should have known, but words came out and there is a misuse, misdirected authority. Spiritual abuse, I would have you understand, is something that goes quite a bit farther. Spiritual abuse is a person
using their authority or position to further their own selfish or sinful desires. Okay? So it's a person who has spiritual authority over another person and actually uses that authority or that position for their own gain in some sort of way, their own selfish or sinful desires. And it even will go, kind of goes to the point of using religious concepts, using teaching of faith, even the scriptures, to condone inappropriate, harmful behavior. Ouch, I know. And I feel like I want to give you this example, and I know it's hard to even like kind of listen to, but just with an all reverence of somebody that we're trying to help, right? She comes as a young woman, and she knew that she had sexual abuse as a child, right, from her father. And stepping back as an adult woman, she could objectively be like, I know this is wrong. This is not okay. I know this is wrong. And we talked through it, and we were praying into it. But this is, as she described what happened, anywhere you want to be, Len, and, oh, Katie, can you make sure that Linda needs a handout, and Len over here needs a handout? I'll get your attendance in a second. We're talking about the topic of misuse or even abuse of spiritual authority. Okay, so we're there working with her. We're working through her memories and, you know, what had really happened. But what her dad, unfortunately, I'm just going to tell you as much detail because it really is an example of this. Dad was very kind of on the, I guess, on the surface, very religious, a lot of religiosity. And they would take out the Bible and he would have them read, honor your father and mother, obey your parents, and all of this stuff. And right after that time, he would say, well, it's nap time. We're going to go over, you know, take a nap together, and inappropriate things would happen between dad and the girl. It wasn't just that he did it is horrific. It's that he used specifically her belief and her faith, and he justified using the scriptures to like condone it or to. What are the main effects on a person? You guys can kind of pass this around who didn't get to check off their name yet. What can you imagine are the effects on a person? Like that young woman, even as an adult, stepping back away from it. What, I mean, you know, we have all these wounds that we talk about, fear, anger, you know, what are some of the effects of that particular type of abuse where someone you really trusted and you have such a heart for the Lord, this little girl had a real heart for the Lord, and that was used actually toward inappropriate. What do you think what lands with a person when that's the case?
You're going to have like a contorted idea of what religion is.
Okay.
You're not going to have like a pure, true belief.
Right.
And it's going to make you potentially mistrust God. And
right.
Other things eventually.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to have a literally like perverted, twisted idea of faith, religion, authority. Dad, in the end, harmed me by tricking me or lying to me, but ultimately, and that's what we really want to have our ears toward as ministers, ultimately it really harms the person, the victim's relationship with God. Because God, the Father, is supposed to be the protector, and, you know, it really harms the person's image of God. Right? And that's what we want to try to seek to heal. Some of the bad side effects of a person, it will result in a person like they can't trust anyone, can't trust authority. They'll not always, but sometimes go down a road of just real utter rebellion, you know, as a reaction toward that, which isn't too helpful for anyone, let alone that person. The most destructive result of rebellion is for the person that rebels. There's just no peace. But I would say kind of what I've seen is the most tough effect in someone is confusion.
Yes.
Spirit of confusion. So I'm working with this girl, and we're like, we're knowing that the Lord loves her and knowing what the Lord is with her. And then all of a sudden she kind of stopped because she was like six. And she just looked at me and said, but what was I supposed to do? I mean, he was my dad. I did have to obey my dad. And it was so hard because we were like, all the healing we had done was like slipping away because it was like confusion just knocked on the door and walked right in. And it was a buzz of confusion for a little one, you know, in that situation. Now, we know as adults, and we can be in challenging or difficult situations, but as adults, when we're ever told to do something that's immoral, even by a legit authority, okay, we're justified in saying, I am not going to do that, even though you are my, I don't know, as an adult, maybe not a parent, my pastor, my boss, my whatever, I don't think, my conscience, I don't think I can do this thing. And you may have to either speak up or make a choice or walk away or take your kid to a different school or whatever it is you got to do, right, as an adult. But for little ones, we can't ever put that on them of saying, well, you didn't have to do that because it was immoral. So the confusion is my point. It's just the pain and the woundedness and the confusion, right? Our Lord has spoken a lot about this in the scriptures because that shared authority from the Lord with his appointed ones, first with Jesus, and then all those who followed him, his appointed authorities in the church, was supposed to be for the good, right? It's supposed to be for the good and the building up of people, order as opposed to chaos, right? And that order from the Lord should be seen in the home, in the family, in school, and in church. Because the Lord has said in Hebrews, Paul says it well, in Hebrews 13:17, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority. It's like the Lord is imploring us to trust your leaders. They have godly authority. Because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account, says Hebrews 13:17. I'll read it again. Have confidence in your leaders, people, the faithful. Submit to their authority because they keep watch over you. Okay, this is the goodness of the order that it should be from God. Because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account to God. Right? They, as leaders, have to give an account to God. And all those people that we mentioned that are spiritual leaders, priests and religious and teachers of the faith and parents, it's a sacred trust there, right? It's a sacred trust. But there's grace for it. You know, the Lord wants each person that's in that very important position to do so well, and there's grace from him, but the individual has to be living rightly under God's authority themselves, right? Listening to the Lord, listening to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, and keeping themselves in holiness and the way the Lord provided in the sacraments, right? Sometimes when that trust is broken or misused, it can become so destructive, and they block the holy and healthy relationship that individuals, both the perpetrator and the victims of that, have with God. So, yeah, ultimately, as Katie said, the real, very difficult, specific thing about spiritual abuse, it's harmful because it results in a distorted perception of the Father's authority, of who the Father is. It's the lie, and you maybe have heard this in different places, the lie that God is not a good father. And that lie goes all the way back to what biblical story? Who's tempted?
Eve.
God is, he's not a good father. He doesn't want you to have that apple. He knows it'll make you as smart as him. It's the original temptation that God is not a good father. And it roots right back to that lie. So how are we going to help people? Okay, when that has been the wound. The help is restoration, or to restore the proper understanding of godly order in the world as opposed to chaos, submitting to his beautiful plan, and healing the image of God for the individual, for the person. Okay? So when that very difficult situation has taken place, there's many different ways that we can or may pray inner healing, these things that you're learning about. But I want you to just put your eyes on this prayer regarding relationships with authority. Now, this prayer is from the book Be Transformed, which some of you took part in book study. From Dr. Bob Schutz, which I would recommend anything by him. He's kind of known for Be Healed, Be Restored. Be Healed was first. Be Transformed is all about God's healing in the sacraments, the seven sacraments. And it's beautiful. And the chapter in which he addresses this kind of thing is when he's talking about the sacrament of holy orders, how the Lord provides that to be ordered way of bringing himself and his love into the world. So the author, Dr. Bob Schutz, he had an experience, and this is kind of his primary wound, as he talks about in the book, of this breakdown of authority. His father had been living kind of a double life and had a long-term affair, I think even another family. And it came to light like in the 50s when it was like a kind of a father knows best sort of, everybody had a perfect little life, you know, and he just was crushed as a young boy. His older brother then went off into drugs and the whole family just crumbled, just totally fell apart. And it left him very kind of like rebellious and searching and really bucking authority throughout his whole life. So when he really came himself and his experience to prayer on this, this is what the prayer that's in front of you is what kind of resulted. And he said, each step by step, I really had to look at, and I really had to kind of start with myself and look at myself, Bob Schutz is saying, to see in what ways I, for my part, have really diverted from what God would want for me. So let's take a look here for a minute. And when we do go over a prayer like this with somebody who has this type of wound, generally, often, I'll read like a stanza or a sentence or so and have that person repeat. But it's good to kind of know what the prayer is about. Follow along as I just read it a little bit so you get a sense of it. First is just acknowledging that all authority does come from God. It's important just to kind of stop and really realize that. We are so focused on earthly authority and division and competition in that. And it's like, ultimately, it's God-given. It goes back to him, right? It should. Heavenly Father, I praise your greatness, acknowledging that all authority in heaven and on earth belongs to you. Thank you for sharing your authority with Jesus and those he entrusted with perpetuating his ministry in the church so that we may know you and live according to your plan and purpose. He moves from there to his own personal repentance. So just think about this for a minute. I am sorry for the ways I've rebelled against or disregarded your direct authority, including those who you have appointed to guide, teach, and protect me. Please forgive me of my arrogance and insolence. Strong words. I had to look up insolence. It just kind of means like, I think I know better than everybody, anybody. Any ways that I have thought or acted like I know better than the authority you appointed, which could be your parents, your teacher, okay, right? He, just a side note, he mentions in the book that he had just so angry and hurt with his father, but he was just raging against authority so much it affected his relationship with his mom too. It's like, I'm not going to listen to you either. And the way that he put it was like, I became my own authority. I became my own judge. I wouldn't listen to anybody else. That's not healthy, right? I had a hard time with this prayer when I first, you know, was exposed to it. And sometimes, depending on the person's story and kind of their sensitivity or their temperament, I might not use the word insolence, but sometimes if they have spoken a little bit about a pattern of rebellion, I will use these words, and they'll be like, that is me. You know, it's a freedom to be able to see what you need healing from, right? Please help me to continually grow in submission to your will as your Holy Spirit leads me. Just not popular words in our culture today. Submission, right? Help me be done with the arrogance, any ways that I think I know better. Before he goes on to pray for the actual healing of what happens, he looks at himself first. Bishop Herman has a phrase, and you'll hear it in the recording with him. There is no deliverance. There is no freedom without repentance. It's an important part. Without blame, without me as the minister saying, don't you think you have a few things you could say sorry to the Lord for? But an invitation to say, for your part, can we pray these words? And then moving from that, I'm sorry, Lord, I receive your mercy. I receive your mercy. And extending from that, I choose to forgive. I forgive all those in authority who have misrepresented you in any way. And that's a little note there to the minister. Encourage, it's powerful for the person to name specific things here. For my principal, who, for, yeah, each one, to really get them up to this. So often people will be like, oh, that was just a dumb thing my grandfather said. And it's not for blame, but it is for recognizing how it affected you. Get it up, get it out. You're praying to forgive, right? So we might take a few minutes there. I ask you to heal me from the wounds of confusion and mistrust that have been caused because of these misrepresentations. Father, please bless those in authority who have distorted your image in my eyes and teach them how to be true sons and fathers in communion with Jesus. And again, we can pray specifically there. So it's not just a general prayer. Father, you alone know who I am, my dignity and my calling. Because what's really wounded the most in a person a lot is their identity. When things like this have happened, a little one, a young person, be like, well, who am I? I guess I'm the person who can be treated like this. But it's a prayer to be like, you see me, Lord. You know who I am. I renounce any misdirected authority that I have given to anyone else to tell me who I am or who my worth is. So that's an important aspect. You kind of have to take back who you are. I now place that trust and authority in you, Father, and ask you to speak through your appointed authority into my life, to bless and affirm my identity and calling. I thank you. I now surrender myself to you and to the authority you have appointed. I promise with your help to continue to submit myself to you and your appointed authority so that I can live according to your holy will. I pray this in the name and holy authority, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So long, but very thorough prayer. And that would be after we really discussed with the person kind of what was on their heart or on their soul. All right. Any thoughts or questions about this? No, that prayer that I just said was written by Dr. Bob Schutz and ought to be transformed.
I guess at the last sentence of the second paragraph where it says, I now place that trust and authority in you, Father, and ask you to speak through your point of authority in my life to bless and affirm my identity and calling. Maybe we should say my identity in Christ or something. You know, people have a lot of identities these days.
Right, right.
May not want them to, I don't know.
Right. I think in the paragraph before, he's trying to say, I might have given my identity over to other people. Let me retake that in you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somehow we, I don't know, it would be good to put some
Okay. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing that comes to my mind is all the more pray for our religious leaders. It's not easy. Or any of you that have taught, you know, or you're trying to teach your own kids. None of us are perfect, you know. But sometimes we misspeak, or sometimes there's just a misdirected use of that authority. And it's like, Lord, keep me under you. Keep me, my tongue, saying what you would have me say. But it's important to ask for and receive prayers from others for spiritual authority. So does that make sense what misuse of spiritual authority is? There'll be a whole nother topic, I think the last class, which is healing from sexual abuse. So as I said, someone may have used their position or authority, even spiritual authority, to abuse in that specific way, sexually. But sexual abuse is a whole different category, you know, so they're distinct. They might cross over, but they're, for the most part, distinct in that. Okay? Take a look real quick on the back. I just wanted to put that on there because I had a blank back, and I just wanted to give that to you. The forgiveness prayer we use so, so much here. Now, as praying out and about in Jonah or any other kind of conference or anything that you do, it's not like you're going to have this in your back pocket and, you know, pulling it out. But I wanted to look at it, both the one we just did, the long one, and this one, which is shorter, just the spirit of it, because this one, the forgiveness prayer, is going to have a similar pattern, like saying to the Lord, I am sorry, remove from me any shame or guilt. I receive your mercy, and in turn, I can forgive others. So it's a beautiful thing for you to have in your mind as a minister when someone sits down and what they're struggling with is unforgiveness or struggling to forgive, okay? And again, I would read this kind of slowly and have the individual repeat. And in some places, if I can tell that they're struggling, I pause even a little bit more, okay? Lord Jesus, I ask your forgiveness for my sins. I trust in your mercy and love. Thank you for dying on the cross for me and for forgiving me. I accept your forgiveness. And in your holy name, I also forgive myself. For some people, the hardest one to forgive is themselves. And sometimes I can tell that the person's kind of struggling, and we'll just stop, and I'm like, are you struggling right here? Or even to say, I accept your mercy, I accept your forgiveness. We talk about, like, are you deciding to disagree with Jesus there, that you can't receive, you know? Because to not receive it is like saying somebody, a person in this world, really shouldn't receive the Lord's mercy, and that somebody is you. Now that matters. You matter. The little you matters. You sitting here still matter. And it's an offense to the Lord. It hurts the Lord's heart to the extent that you won't accept his mercy. And so we stop there and talk about it if we really need to. And allow that person, like, give God permission to flood you with the mercy, to forgive yourself. Decide to forgive yourself. I give to you, I surrender to you, I dump with you all the guilt and shame that my sins may have caused me. Take the guilt and shame, Lord, and give me your peace. Help me to forgive those who have hurt me with my whole heart, and I ask you to bless them now. Oftentimes people will say, well, I think I forgave my dad. I think I did. I'm not sure if I did. Sometimes things bother me. They don't know if they've forgiven. And I'll often say, if you can, from the bottom of your heart, ask God to bless them. And just picture all the people in your life that have been maybe the most challenging to you. And picture the Lord's hand of blessing over each one of them. And you really want them to be raised up and doing well and doing better than when maybe you knew them or when you crossed paths with them. And it really feels good for the person to be able to receive, like, yeah, I want God to bless them. You know, I want goodness for them. If you can desire goodness for the other person, it's a good sign of forgiveness, of forgiving heart. I desire to follow you, Lord, with all of my heart as my Lord and Savior, my King and my God. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Right? Good. So that's a good tool, but it is elements of which that you could use. But that's something that we use here a lot at the Catholic Renewal Center. So I think we'll move on to generational healing. The Lord likes to heal us as he created us as people in the world. Okay, so he created us with a physical aspect, emotional, mental, spiritual. And I think you learned last time maybe the different ways of healing, like the four different ways of healing, physical, emotional, spiritual. So he comes to us the way he made us. But a thing that he did, rather than creating the whole world as isolated individuals, like we got you, we got you, we got you, he brought us into this world in the context of family. He brought us into the world in the context of families. And the family should be a school of love and affirmation and encouragement. And sadly, it's not always that. And to the extent that the things lived, even in the past, in previous generations, tend to follow on down to succeeding generations, we seek always healing for an individual who comes in, but also healing like in the context of the whole family. Okay, so that's when we talk about generational healing, family healing, healing in the family line. So I had a few questions that I asked Bishop Herman and Jane Gunther, and the recording that follows is going to be what their answers are.